After yesterday's assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump, I have been inundated with news reports and conversations from friends and family wanting to know my thoughts. There seems to be a common thread with each of the questions that comes my way or each news story that I see, and it has to do with this. The approach is we're right and they're wrong. We are the good guys. They are the bad guys. The fact is there are good guys and bad guys on both sides of the camp. Just like any other issue that becomes a major issue in our country, there is more to it than what the eye can see. We think we know the whole picture. We think we know what all the details are and what's going to happen next. And yet, we forget that all the players in this game are human beings. They have hurts and wounds and cultural beliefs and indoctrinations. They have sin in their lives. They have righteousness and prayer in their lives. They have different spiritual beliefs. To point out who is right and who is wrong actually detracts from righteousness, the kingdom of God coming to this earth, which is righteousness and goodness and healing and hope and love, and instead focuses on something that creates division and keeps our eyes off of what truly matters. So as I was thinking about this, and as is a common practice of mine as a creative individual, in order to keep my monkey brain busy while I process stuff, I will play certain computer games, or I will enjoy coloring, electronic coloring book game. And I have a particular one that I thoroughly enjoy. And as I'm coloring it, I am noticing my thoughts, my behaviors, my assumptions with each picture that I pick out. So as I scroll through all the individual coloring pages that have been offered up to me, I've noticed that there are certain types of pages that I prefer over other types. I like the food and I like the zen, and periodically I like people, especially if they're wearing costumes. I like kitchen stuff. I like picnic, nature, animals, but not all animals. And so I've noticed that I have prejudices as I'm scrolling through the pages of what types of coloring pages I'm going to color. And then I reflect on the fact that if an algorithm were following me regarding the type of pages I lean towards, it's going to dish up more of those types of pages. And then I would never have the option to explore a different type of page. My least favorite in this app has actually become the most powerful illustration I could have asked for. So it's called a mystery page, and you don't know what the whole picture is going to be. You just have to start coloring. As I gave in and decided I'd go ahead and try one of these pages, which, by the way, my youngest granddaughter loves these pages because she loves the mystery in it of what is going to happen. She is curious. Keep that in mind. Noticing and curiosity. So I start coloring on this page, and as you zoom in on the page, you're going to see a whole bunch of little numbers. And if you hold your finger down or your stylus down on one of those numbers, it's going to highlight all the areas where that particular color is going to appear on the page. And so you start coloring it. In this case, the very first picture, or the very first number that I put my stylus down on revealed things that looked like floor tile. And I thought, this is going to be another house scene. It's probably another cabin up in the mountains. And there's going to be a patio and a river going by. And, you know, because I've stumbled on a few of those. So I already know what to expect. I already know what we're going to have. Then I hit another number. And all of a sudden, there's all these golden swirls that show up. And I thought, ooh, maybe this is going to be a crown. This will be fun. And then I touch another color, and there's columns that show up. Like, okay, so this is inside of some type of big architecture. As I'm exploring the different colors, I'm reflecting back on how in life I will think that I know what's coming because of my choices and what I choose to believe, what colors am I going to highlight in my life? What colors do I prefer? What settings do I prefer? What are my expectations? So as I color in my mystery page of my life, of my experiences, I can only know the moment that I'm in. And so I'll touch the color, and all those particular type colors will appear on the page. If I zoom in super close, I'm only going to see that particular color in that very small area and will fill that in, but that's not the whole picture. That's only that one small piece. If I zoom super far in, it's going to look really ragged and rough, and all the pixels are going to show as sharp corners and edges. If I zoom out, I'm going to see more of the color that I want to see. If I zoom all the way out, I'm going to see more of the whole picture and where that particular color shows up. So for this case, that color might be a belief system that all people are good, or that people are liars. Whatever my belief system is, I'm looking for that particular belief system to show up, because my assumption would be, see, this is going to prove that I'm right, that this particular belief system exists. And then I'll touch on another color, and something wonderful pops up. It's a color I really love, or it's a color that I'm like, ew, that's really icky. I wonder why they picked that one. And I'll go through, and I'll touch all the areas where that color is. Now, eventually, I'm going to start seeing that my original assumptions may not at all be what the coloring page is revealing, but it's something entirely different. I may touch on a color, as I did in this sample that I'm showing here, and a lot of little tiny dots show up. Well, those are tedious, and they take time to fill in, but okay, for this purpose, I'm going to do just that. So I click on the little dots, and I patiently go through. One of the things I've noticed is that I can only click on one dot at a time. If I calm myself, then before I know it, the whole picture is finished, because I'm just methodically clicking on the colors and noticing the picture developing in front of me. This mindset is something that carries over when I'm watching news stories or listening to somebody in a conversation stating something that maybe I don't like, or that I think I know the answer to, or that I have a different opinion and they need to hear my opinion. I can rein myself back and be curious of what's the mystery in what they're going to say, and what color are they going to reveal to me in their belief systems? How did they get there? It helps me to slow down and notice meditatively what is being revealed in front of me. Because if I jump to conclusions, I'm going to force my picture and my opinions on the listeners that I'm talking to, and I will have never heard what the full picture really was, because I'm focusing so zoomed in to that picture that all I can see are the pixels and the rough edges. And so I have to correct that in order to make it what I want it to be. So let's zoom out again for the picture and let's look at the overall, in artistic terms, it's called gestalt. What the gestalt is of the picture. What is starting to be revealed and how is this message being portrayed through this illustration that I'm participating in? Same thing with life. How am I showing up in the narrative that is before me? Am I contributing to it? Am I making assumptions? Am I going to participate to the completion? Or am I going to not participate? That said, there are some pictures that are so complicated, I get bored or sleepy while I'm doing them. And I give myself permission, which this alone is a practice that anybody can do when you find yourself stressed or exhausted. I can give myself permission to put this away until another time when I'm fresh-minded. I have to notice where I'm at. After all, I purchased the game. It is so much more value than the price I paid. And it is a part of my healing and my meditation in recovering from trauma triggers that I never knew I had until they keep showing up and sabotaging my life. But I digress, and those things are covered in other blog posts that I've written. So I can put that away for another day or another moment in my day when I feel more like going back to that particular picture, to color. And that is very similar also to, say, I'm having a conversation and somebody makes a statement that I've already processed in myself and have been thrilled with the answer I've come up with because it set me free. And I can't wait for this person to stop talking so that I can share the answer. But the person continues to talk, does not allow me to have an opening, and I can see that this is intentional. She is going to say what she has drawn conclusions of because she needs to be right. And then I ask myself, is this about me or is this about her? If it's about me being right and showing her that I have all the answers, then I am shortchanging her on her own journey to discovery. So instead, I validated myself and my opinions by grabbing a piece of paper and jotting down my thoughts, because those are going to become blog posts. Because those are important thoughts and important conversations to have, it's just the timing is off. So I set that aside for later, and I'm going to listen to what she has. What is the mystery? What is it that she's presenting? How did she come to this conclusion? Why does she need to believe what she now believes? And what I discovered in this particular conversation I'm thinking about is that her core belief has to do with fear and shame. So listening to the patterns of words, the conclusions, helps me to see the bigger picture, just like identifying that they're using certain kind of colors in this page, that it's going to become, I see, it's a feather, or it's a crown, or nope, it's not a crown. Hang in, let's see what we've got. Oh, I see, it's a Mardi Gras mask, and it's in a building. Oh, and it must be sitting on a table. Are those pearls beside it? The more I color, the more I get to see the big picture. Now, seeing the big picture is not the full goal. The full goal has to do with observing my participation in it, my beliefs, my preferences. More times than I can think of, I was disappointed at the color I got, as I colored in a bird or a turtle or a flower. I wanted to see red. I wanted to see vibrant pink. And instead, I got dull yellows or grays or a muted green. But in the full picture, as I continued to participate with what was before me, I was pleasantly surprised at how beautiful the original artist that created this artwork composed with a particular palette. And then when the picture was complete, I had a reaction. I felt calmed, I felt pleased, I felt amazed. And very much appreciative of how it pays to see what picture somebody else is painting so that you can experience something different than what is already familiar. It has been very pleasant for me to listen to people who have a different opinion than the one I was raised with, because it helps me to connect the dots, to get more clarity, to be able to forgive, or gave me permission to be angry and to grieve and to accept my own fallacies without holding that whip over me that I had to be perfect and I had to get this right. I'm just going with the flow and participating, noticing as I'm going. This metaphor of a coloring page applies to our lives, and every day that we get is like a new coloring page. And we get to participate in one moment because we can only do one color at a time. Software and apps like computer games, like these coloring pages, they all offer up a moment of meditation and reflection, keeping your very busy chattering brain quiet and occupied while the rest of your brain can process and notice your thoughts, your opinions, your emotions, your curiosity. And then in the end, as you patiently go moment by moment, you will be rewarded with an understanding of what the full picture is. The full picture is what it is. It's not a matter of all the reds are right and all the muted greens are wrong. It's a matter of what is the true message that's in front of me. And what's the point? And the point is this. Being right and insisting that you're right is a set mindset. It is law-based, and it has no growth and no love in it. It's a clanging gong, a shattering cymbal. It is just noise, and there's no life in it. Now, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill the law, and he does that through love. So we need the boundaries and we need the guidelines to understand what we're looking at, not for the purpose of pointing fingers at other people to declare them a narcissist or a victim or a people pleaser, right or wrong or anything else, but to look at the patterns of beliefs. It's the beliefs that become our enemy. Scripture says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. In a dysfunctional family, it's very tempting to believe that the scapegoat or the golden child is the problem. No. The individuals are not the problem. It's the belief system that created those roles that those individuals were forced into. The choices that the individual has to remain the scapegoat or to remain the golden child is what they get to choose and make a choice about. Scripture also says, God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that will you also reap. Not everything that happens to us is Satan attacking us or is evil towards us. It is more often than not simply a harvest of what we've sown. It may be a good harvest, maybe a bad harvest. It could be grief. It could be anger. Whatever it is, whatever we've sown, however our thoughts have gone to play into trying to force a different picture, we're going to get that result back. We can set our moments aside. We can choose another page, another something else to look at to continue noticing. Because eventually, as this metaphor that I'm speaking of, this illustration, is that the pages will end up getting colored, and they're all beautiful, and they all speak of the glory of what God has given us, his abundance. It is people telling the narrative of something beautiful and wonderful that they are sharing. And if I participate in the process moment by moment, I get to benefit from the harvest, the abundance of beauty that God's creation speaks of. If I don't cooperate moment by moment. I will choose my own moments, which probably have nothing to do with meditation, appreciation, gratitude, noticing, repentance, ordering myself. It's going to lean more towards blaming other people, grieving, or creating my own narrative of what I think the picture is going to be that I'm going to be fighting against. And there's death in that. There's depression in that. There's self-sabotage. There is a great deal of grief, which will manifest in my body. We need the time to meditate, to pause, to reflect without guilt. There is a harder work being done when we rest and we reflect and we allow things to come to us than there is when we're trying to force the picture and force the narrative. It's not a matter of right or wrong. It's a matter of what is being revealed before us so that we can react accordingly.